Hey guys, come here, Rainer. Welcome back to the Boop Show. I'm Scott Johnson, and I am at the lake. And as you can tell, there's no wind blowing on this microphone, so figured may as well pop it out. You can probably hear my dog breathing real hard, though. She's been out here in the hot 90 degree weather. Hear that? She's like a hummingbird with that breath. It's a good girl. And I thought I'd take a minute and sit down in nature and do another one of these. You know, weirdly enough, there's two things happening. One, overwhelming feedback likes this format, which surprised me. I mean, it's not that I didn't think that it would be okay for many, but or I wouldn't have done it. But a lot of people are like, I like the more personal approach. Like, there's a billion podcasts and shows out there where video games are covered, where someone just reads the news and makes commentary on it. So what you're doing with these last few episodes is a little bit more organic and less, I suppose, dependent on format. And I think that's refreshing for some. It is for me. I say that knowing that there's at least a handful of you listening to this thinking, no, I like it the old way. I like the structured thing. And to that I would say, cool. Probably haven't decided what the best ultimate destination is. But for the time being, I kind of like the idea of shaking it up a little bit and approaching it from a different angle. You know, I'm always trying to do that with stuff. I never make two shows that are the same, two podcasts that are the same, so I feel like maybe this is, it's an approach that I can get down with. So, all right, let's talk about video games, because this isn't about Scott's podcasting method. This is about our mutual love of the art of video games. And I do say they're an art. Take that, ghost of Roger Ebert. All right. So, we are, a week and a half after post-launch of Overwatch, Blizzard's first-person shooter, which by all accounts was received with not just great accolades and player response, but pretty much universal review and press approval. I've yet to read anything negative about the game. The only thing I've heard a couple of complaints like, well, here's a $59 console game, $49 PC game, depending on which version you get. More if you want the special versions, but here's that game, and man, oh man, that was already expensive, and all you're getting is a multiplayer experience, and boy, it sure is a good one, like one of the best ever, and, you know, top-notch, probably totally worth that money multiplayer experience. But then to put in there your ability to buy loot boxes seems a little lame to some people's sensibilities. And I would answer to that, what would be lame about that is if they sold characters that way, or if they sold new content for the game in that way, so that your ability to play the game is hindered by what you want to spend. And they have made clearly a decision, I don't know how early on, but at some point in the process of building that game, they made a decision not to just go down the rabbit hole of the current day free-to-play nature of things, even with their own game, Heroes of the Storm. And they went the other way, which is to say, all right, the characters are all there. There's basically an entry fee that's $50. You have access to everything the game offers, including unlocking all that stuff you get through loot boxes over time. Or for some of you crazy people, why don't you spend another $50 and just get them quicker? I don't have any problem with that. Like, this is a pricing model I can deal with. All games going forward, they need to have some kind of hitch or hook in them that allows them to generate revenue outside of the old models. The old models was, well, we sold one game and it sold really well, but we aren't really motivated to support it very long because why would we? We're not getting any residual money. Eventually, the long tail of the sale of that game is that people who want to play it have bought it and nobody else is buying it at some point, right? That stops. So for that kind of game, we're talking like, you know, we'll keep it in the Blizzard stable. That's like Warcraft 1 or Warcraft 2 or StarCraft or to some degree, Diablo. And, you know, Diablo was their first chance to say, well, what about a different payment model here? What if we had this real money auction store thing, real money auction house? And that failed miserably, and they admitted it as such and got rid of it, and the game's better for it. But still, that was them saying, well, we've got to figure out alternate ways to have this game, which we plan to support indefinitely, just like they have Diablo 2 and Diablo, or Diablo 2 and to some degree Warcraft 3 and other things that are getting current patches. But what's your motivation? If you're not financially motivated as a business that is there to make money, what do you do? So the answer in Overwatch is a decent one. This optional thing that doesn't actually affect gameplay. Rainer, lay down. If you're so hot, just lay in the shade, baby. That doesn't, you know, what was I going to say? It doesn't require a monthly fee. It doesn't require to decide which characters you want to buy before you even get a chance to know if you like them or not. Like, it's just straight up, here's the game. Everything that comes with it, you get. Any new heroes we put out during the span of this game's life, and any new maps we make, and any modes, and any whatever, those will all also be part of your original purchase. You're not going to pay extra for those things. But hey, all these cosmetics, and all of these cool skins, and effects, and voice changes, and blah, 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 all the stuff that gives the game personality, those are things, if you want, you can spend money on, but they don't affect the actual outcome of a match. You don't have a better chance of winning. Now the wind's kicking up. Is this making a noise? I'm going to move down here a little bit. But none of those are going to make it so that you have an unfair advantage on the battlefield, or that others you play against will have self-said advantage. I think that's great. That's the way I want my, you know, post-launch content. Like, I even like that better than DLC, because DLC doesn't ensure quality. There's plenty of great games that had terrible DLC. And if you bought the whole package thing, the season thing, season package, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I paid for that. That third episode was garbage, right? So, you know, this is a very multiplayer-focused game. It's a little easier for them to do this, but at the same time, I'm just very, very happy with how they've structured it. So I don't understand the consternation about that. There are plenty of offenders in the video game market. You could even argue Blizzard themselves, with the way that they modeled out Heroes is guilty of this, or the way they model out Hearthstone is guilty of this to some degree. But I don't see how it's a problem here. It's just completely 100% optional and completely earnable. Although I guess you only got that Reyes skin and the extra 76 skin, Tracer and Bastion skins for the Origins edition of the game. Do I have that right? So that may be an example where you could say, you had to pay to get those. But pre-ordered, I don't know, that's different. Pre-orders have a long history of people getting extra things if they buy early. So I'm not sure we can have that in the same argument. So it's a valid conversation, but probably not the same context. Anyway, aside from business models, the game released and it's great, and it's I'm having more fun than ever. I played that beta since last fall, so you'd think I'd be tired of it, but the weird thing is I'm actually more into it now than I've ever been, and part of that is probably because everyone's playing it, and so plenty of people to play with, always friends online, always somebody to watch play if all I want to do is observe. And they have genuinely figured out a way to carve out the most fun multiplayer since I played Quake back in the late 90s, and that says a lot, because that was really the high point for me, especially with shooters, let alone any other kind of competitive game. And they've done it in such a unique way. Like, so many people want to compare this to Team Fortress 2, and I understand the comparisons. I understand looking at it and saying, oh, well, this sort of stylized world and sort of these goofy characters are a bit like that. And I think that's where the comparison ends, honestly, other than they both shoot guns. Is that a bee? You know why I don't like bees? Eat the bees, Rainer. Jim Rainer, the female dog. Come here. Eat the bees. Yeah, that was a bee, and it was a big one. I don't like bees. You guys want to hear me scream like a girl? You're about to witness it firsthand. Anywho's-its. Yeah, I mean, the comparisons, I think, end there. Where this game starts to get really unique is because it's character-based and not class-based, per se. Or I guess you could still say it's class-based, but it's like having 22 classes. Or is it 21? 22. How many characters are there? I thought it was even. 22? Whatever it is. they're all like unique classes unto themselves. Nobody's an analog of somebody else. So it's not like having six classes that all do different things. I mean, Team Fortress was kind of like that too. The heavy was the heavy and the spy was the spy, but it was a much smaller range. And like, for example, in TF2, I could not stand the engineer class. I didn't like him. Is that what he was called? Guy that built turrets. Just not a fan. Didn't like him. I don't know why. Felt like too much micromanagement. Something in the way he worked, I just wasn't a fan of that. Now, you take Torbjorn, who is a very... You look at him and go, oh, they're just making a TF2 engineered turret guy. Well, you're right in the sense that he's... You know, he builds turrets. Yes. But they've stripped away all the stuff I didn't like about the engineer, all the fluff, all the extra stuff, and just honed him down to what makes him really fun. And that's all he is. It's just a bundle of, like, dwarfy, goofy, amazing fun. As just one example. And every character feels that way to me. I have yet to play one where I just straight up don't like him. Like, I like them all. There's some I'm better with. Like, I'm kind of terrible at Tracer. But I will play her, and I'll appreciate what she does, and I'll love that she does it differently than everyone else, and I'll like the advantages and disadvantages and all that. But, yeah, there's not one character I just go, oh, I don't like that character. I like them all and love some of them, like, but I like them all to a high level and love some in ways that are kind of unnatural. Roadhog, Junkrat, 76. Probably Lucio. I'm getting there on what's her name? Mercy. She's awesome. Now the wind's really blowing. Stupid wind. Here. Let's hide down here where the dog is. There's no wind down here. Here you are. Hey, baby. So, at any rate, I'm getting allergies. I apologize if I sniff a lot. The bottom line, that game, hell of a release. Real, real good stuff. And if you've been on the fence or you don't like shooters or you're just not sure, I cannot recommend it enough. I mean, I know everyone's saying it. I know the internet is abuzz with it. I know I'm not the only one telling you what you ought to be doing. But I mean it. If you've ever taken my word for anything, take me at my word for this. It is the most fun multiplayer you'll have, maybe ever. And all the versions seem really strong and solid. I think I've played all three, or I played the PS4 and the PC version. I prefer the PC version just for the same reasons I prefer shooters there, period, which is, you know, better control in my opinion. But plays great on console. Nothing wrong with that. Also, this has been the week where I finally really dug into an old Kickstarter I supported 4 years ago. That is Grim Dawn. Oddly enough, kind of related to Blizzard in that it's a Diablo-like... Flying a little low, aren't you there, buddy? Huh. I don't know where there's an airport here, so I don't know where that guy's going. Not this close to where I'm at. But anyway, Grim Dawn is the game. Made by the guys, or a bunch of the guys and people who built or made Titan Quest back in 2006. And its sequel, Titan Quest, whatever it was called. Fantastic action RPG set in ancient Greece. Greek mythology, all that stuff, tons of loot. Really great game, really pretty engine. In fact, that same game, Titan Quest, still looks really good on PCs today, which is kind of hard to do, I think. Anyway, what was my point with that? Oh, this is those same guys. And in fact, it's the same engine, just tweaked and made all modern. But it's this post-apocalyptic, weird, magic, demon... wasteland kind of game Grim Dawn is. I kickstarted it just because I knew on the pedigree alone I wanted to play it. And then it finally came out. Early access for a while on Steam, and then finally came out for real. I cashed in my code, got it. And holy crap, it's great. You guys need to spend some time with Grim Dawn if you haven't already. If you just like action RPGs, even passingly, it's super good. The best comparison I could make is it's somewhere wedged in between some of the quality of life improvements of modern games like Diablo 3 or like Age of, or what's the Exile one? Exile, whatever it is. I forget the name now. I like that one too. Home of Exile, Age of Exile. What is it? Whatever it is. Path of Exile, Path. That's it. It's somewhere between that and Diablo 2. I think Diablo 3 is a very different experience, and I love it too, but it's not the same. It's more of a Diablo 2 thing. It's very single-player focused. It's a great big campaign, a huge world to explore, lots of decisions that make big differences in the actual story. Loot galore, like, just feels like those old days, but it's modern and looks beautiful and has great effects, and, you know, it's a game that's for now. It's not a game built in 2000. Boy, what else can I say about it? I've gone with kind of a hybrid build of a kind of a gun shooting, sometimes sword carrying magic guy who's dropping these some serious, like, snow, or not snow, but like cold magic, all kinds of ice stuff and area of effect stuff that just wipes out huge groups of people. It's challenging, it's hard, it's not easy. There are all the modes you expect, like hardcore modes and all that, if you want to go that far with it. Just a wonderful game. Play it offline. Don't have to play online. There's mod support now. They've just added that, so we'll see what that brings. Can't be more positive about it. I think it's really, really wonderful, and you guys should give it a shot. If you like that kind of game, it's absolutely worth the $20 and more. I think it's on sale right now. I think for $10, it's like half off. I paid $18 on the Kickstarter. It's usually $20 retail. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, man, this game's finally getting done. They must have had trouble. But nope, I think they just took their time and made a really, really solid ARPG. So give that a shot. And then finally, a couple things I want to mention. One is another small game that I found that completely blew my mind. It's called Solitarica. And it's like a solitaire-based roguelike, also on Steam. Coming to iOS as well, I guess. It's not there yet. And the mechanics are straight up solitaire, but there's this, like, I don't even know how to describe this thing. It's like you're battling creatures, you're trying to make your way to the thing. You unlock permanent bonuses for your next playthroughs, but if you die, you're dead and you got to start over. I mean, it's a roguelike, so if you know what I'm talking about there with, like, Rogue Legacy or more recently Enter the Gungeon, things like that, they all kind of follow this. Neon Chrome that I recommended last show, it's like that kind of structure. But it's this card game, and it's all very animated and fun to look at and all of that. But it's just ridiculously addicting, and everyone who's taken my recommendation is regretting that they did, because it's taking up all their time. It's really fun. I can't wait till it's on a tablet. Playing that in bed at night is just going to ruin my soul. It's going to destroy me. But, yeah. You unlock all these abilities as you go, and they do too. So when they play a card, it might make one of their cards spiky. So if you attack that card or do a solitaire move on that card, it's going to hurt you to do that. You have a life bar. You have health regen based on stuff you equip. You have gear that drops. It's silly good. Solitarica. Came out of nowhere for me. Just had no idea it existed. Tried it on a whim. Thought, I can get a refund if I don't like it. End up loving it. So that's real good. So we are 2 weeks away, well, a week and a half or something away from E3. E3 is going to happen. And as promised, myself and Patrick Beja will be doing some live coverage of the conferences for most of the big conference days, with very few exceptions, I think. He'll be back in Finland. He's in Japan right now. I'll be here, of course. And we did this last year. People loved it. We did live video kind of overlay and talked about what we were seeing as it went on. And later put it on podcast feed. So all of that will be true this year. And then we'll do some sort of roundup at the end of the week. Maybe on both shows. Maybe on just his. Maybe on mine. I don't know. I don't know how we're doing that yet. But I wanted you guys to know about it and get excited about it. Because I think it may become a grand tradition here on the Boop Show. And I like working with Patrick. It's always fun. Oh, what else? I guess that's it. Somebody asked the other day what I thought of this new turn-based cowboy strategy game that's a lot like Advance Wars on iOS, and I downloaded it. It's called New Frontier. Oh, is it New Frontier? Ah, crap. I could check on my phone since I'm talking into it. Anyway, it's very early in that. I'm maybe 2-3 levels into it, but already I'm seeing the pedigree. The inspiration is definitely Advance Wars, but it's set in the Old West, and it's a weird Old West, like robot cowboys and strange magic and, you know, really tweaking the genre. But if you liked those games, if you like the Advance War games, oh man, you're probably needing to play that. That probably needs to be a part of your life. Stop it, wind. I can tell you're blowing. Hold on. Hang on, I'm going to go where the wind isn't. Come on, stupid dog. All right, right here's good. Nope, this is bad too. Well, anyway. I think that's going to do it. Don't forget to send us your emails and your thoughts. Emails come to us at boopshow@gmail.com. You can also leave voicemails at 801-471-0462. And as always, the website is frogpants.com/boop. And I think that's everything. Thank you guys so much for listening. There'll be more to talk about soon. There hasn't been a ton of news in the industry. Little things here or there. You know, Doom continues to be rad. I need to finish that. VR stuff happened. Not really, though. It's kind of been flat. E3 is what they're waiting for. When you get this close to E3, things kind of slow down. So we'll get more into some of those thoughts as we get closer. All right. Thanks, you guys. We'll see you soon.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.